Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship this evening. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Opening hymn for this evening is found on the inside cover of our worship bulletin. God's house again this evening, we hear from God's word in the Apostle John. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. For our confession of sins this evening, we turn to hymn 655. We turn to hymn 655 as our confession of sins this evening. Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue on the top of page 2 in our worship bulletin with singing the Gloria in Excelsis. put it into the bulletin there. We'll now join together in the prayer of the day. So let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord God, you send your word out into all the world, and you use your believers and called workers to continue to also to spread and share this word. Help us all to remain faithful in our confession of to others, despite any possible opposition or possible persecution. We ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. On the second week in Lent, we saw opposition against Jesus beginning in our lessons, and this week we see it continuing further, and it's going to continue to get worse and worse as we get closer and closer to Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. In our Old Testament lesson, and which is also our sermon text for this evening, taken from Jeremiah chapter 26, we see the opposition that arose against the prophet Jeremiah as he was sent by God to tell the children of Israel his word. We read, "But as soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, 'You must die. Why do you prophesy in the Lord's name that this house will be like Shiloh,'" in other words, destroyed, "'and this city will be desolate and deserted?' And all the people crowded around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard about all these things, they went up from the royal palace to the house of the Lord and took their places at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, 'This man should be sentenced to death because he has prophesied against this city. You have heard it with your own ears.' Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and all the people, 'The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city, all the things you have heard. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on those who live in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing.'" Here ends our Old Testament lesson. Our song for the day is taken from portions of Psalm 55. We begin by singing the refrain. Distraught at the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked.
For they bring down suffering upon me, and revile me in their anger.
My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me.
But I call to God, and the Lord saves me.
Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me.
Even though an enemy opposes me.
Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you.
He will never let the righteous fall.
I will hear what the Lord proclaims, peace to his people.
Our epistle lesson for this evening is recorded in the letter to the church in the city of Philippi, the third chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. Paul writes, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For As I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Here ends our epistle lesson. We continue with the song response. Jesus and his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose portrait is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. We continue with the song response. Since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brother, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? Jesus replied, You are in error, because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. We continue with this song response. Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. He said to them, How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David then calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Here ends our gospel lesson and our lessons. We now turn to our sermon hymn for this evening, hymn number 409.
Thank you.
speech here from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this evening is our Old Testament lesson taken from the prophet Jeremiah, which we read at the beginning. I'll just repeat two verses. After Jeremiah finished telling the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, "You must die." But Jeremiah replied, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against the city all the things you have heard. Reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you." These are the words of our Lord. In the name of our Savior, dear Christian friends, I'm sure there have been times where you and I have maybe had to be the bearer of bad news. And whenever that happens, it's not very pleasant. Sometimes in some of the war movies, you'll see where the representative from the armed services has to walk up that front porch and ring the doorbell or knock on the door and try to personally deliver the news that their loved one perished in battle. There's also been many phrases with the phrase bearer of bad news. One of them is, don't shoot the messenger of the bad news. And yet, sometimes, that's how people feel when they hear things that they don't want to hear. And yet the messenger is just the messenger. He's just conveying the message. And interestingly enough, that's what the prophet Jeremiah had to do in our text for this evening. And we want to note, as we continue in this Lenten season and see the opposition against Jesus continue to escalate and get worse and worse, sometimes speaking God's word is not always an honorable position, especially when there are people, sinners, unbelievers, who want nothing to do with it and don't want to hear it, especially God's law, where it may convict them of sins that they have been doing and they don't want to hear about. Now, Jeremiah's plight was partially because God called him to do this. It says, Jeremiah finished telling the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say. So, Jeremiah was just the messenger. And the Lord had strictly commanded him, especially at his call, when the Lord called him at the beginning of his ministry. And Jeremiah's ministry lasted 30, 40 years. And he didn't have a lot of success. And here's another example. So God called him and said, "You must tell them everything I tell you. Do not omit a word. And whether they listen or fail to listen, they will know that a prophet has been among them." So Jeremiah says and tells it, and now we hear the results. They all grab him. "You must die." And why? Because he has spoken against this house, the temple of the Lord, this city, Jerusalem, and its people and its inhabitants. Now it's interesting to note that technically, there is no Old Testament law that says if you speak against the temple of the Lord, you're going to die. There's no Old Testament law that says this. In fact, we'll see in a couple of minutes that this had happened many, many, many times before. But they were just angry with Jeremiah because he was the bearer of the bad news. And the bad news was this. Notice we caught a part of it in the context. "Now reform your ways and your actions." Literally in the Hebrew, the verb means do good. Don't do evil. That's literally what he's trying to tell them. And that was God's message to them. And now they put him on trial right away. The princes come out. They set up their chairs, their royal chairs, right in the gate of the temple. And now he's going to be put on trial. And as we get into the trial, notice it says, "The priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people." So the people that were driving that Jeremiah needs the death sentence are the priests and the prophets, the religious representatives of God's Old Testament. They were so off the rails and so departed from God's word that they were saying Jeremiah's got to die. So, this is just another example of how bad things had gotten. And Jeremiah was the last prophet before the destruction of Jerusalem and Israel, and they were taken off in exile. And the Lord was giving him another chance, another chance, another chance. These other chances have been going on for hundreds of years. Now, if you were Jeremiah, what would you have wanted to have happen to these people that seized you and want you put to death because you simply told them what God told you you had to tell them? And yet, you and I are, even as believers in our glorious Lord and Savior Jesus, who has given us the Great Commission to go into all the world, go into all nations, and teach the good news to all creation, think at times you and I are a little timid about doing that, or sometimes we feel a little unnerved about trying to speak to somebody else about their sins, the law, and the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for all those sins. Because partially at times, our sinful human natures may get to us and say, well, what are they going to think about me? Or are they going to think I'm a Bible banger? Or whatever. And the other temptation there is to worry, what if they reject me? And God had to remind Moses back in the Old Testament, they haven't rejected you who brought the word to them, they've rejected me. And we should not personalize it. You know, the temptation may be by people who do not want to hear God's law, the temptation may be to shoot the messenger, shoot the bearer of the bad news. And we see that with Jeremiah here. And yet, we have to be reminded, God's going to take care of us. Now, did you hear in Jeremiah's response, he says, as for me, okay, if this is what you're going to do to me, as for me, do whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this place and all who live in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. And notice how Jeremiah, in his simple explanation, reminds them, okay, you got to do what you got to do with me, but this is the truth. You know what happened? God's word saved Jeremiah's life. Because there were people there that remembered the prophet Hananiah and another prophet and another prophet and another prophet who had all had the same message that this city is going to be destroyed if you don't reform your ways and turn back to the Lord. And they said, those prophets, except one, Uriah, he was put to death by Jehoiakim, but all those other prophets said the same thing, and they're pointing back to 100 years prior. They remembered the word of the Lord that had brought to them through other prophets. And they said, you dare not put him to death for saying this. And God's word saved his life. And the proclamation that had been done many years ago stopped the people from doing it. And they would not let the officials, or the priests, or the prophets take his life. Interestingly enough, as we are in this season of Lent, didn't Jesus have a very similar plight? We heard all of the opposition coming to Jesus in our gospel lesson for this evening. Because why? He was preaching God's word. And they were trying to get him, trying to catch him, trying to implicate him, trying to accuse him of something that they could arrest him for and get rid of him. And finally, when it comes down to it, when we get to the end of the Lent season, what are they going to want to do? What do they demand of Pilate that they do? Hey, he needs to be put to death. And talk about innocent blood. When we speak of our Lord and Savior Jesus, there is innocent blood. Did God save Jesus from that plight? He rescued Jeremiah, but did he save his one and only son, Jesus, from that plight where they were demanding his death and that they take his life by crucifying him? God did not stop it, did he? But he continued to take care of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. His body would rest secure. His life would return to him. He would rise gloriously on that third day. And he will ultimately have complete and utter victory over all his foes and enemies and all who oppose his church. And it doesn't matter what, but God will always ultimately gain the victory. And that is his reminder to us this evening. Jesus has to remind us also, he says, do not be afraid of them. I am with you. And we're blessed. We're absolutely blessed to be living in a country where we do have freedom of religion. And yet I think we can see the tide changing a little bit. The sentiment, the mood seems to be changing a little bit. And that does concern some of us, and it may worry us. But the ultimate thing is going to be that the word of the Lord and his power are going to continue to take care of us. You and I have been commanded to tell this. So one of the prayers that we can join together in as Christians is, pray for faithful Christians who are able to stand up under these tests. Pray for faithful called workers who, even despite whatever opposition or whatever's going to come up against them. And when we pray these prayers, boy, we definitely need to think of all of the believers throughout the entire world, because there's other countries where they do not have the same freedoms we have, and there are Christians dying daily at God's allowance as he brings them to their heavenly home, which we sang in the hymn tonight, Heaven is my home. And through faith in Christ and by his grace, heaven is our home too. So as we continue on this Lenten season, and we see opposition against God's people in the Old Testament and the New Testament, against Jesus himself, it should remind us in our day and age, we can't let it concern us. God is in control. He will win the ultimate victory. And when Jesus comes again on that last day, every knee is going to bow before him, and every tongue is going to have to acknowledge, even those that didn't believe him, that he is Lord over all. So we can trust that even though at times speaking the word of God is not always an honorable position, especially by those who don't want to hear God's law or who don't want to hear that they need to reform their ways and their actions, yet may we ever continue to be faithful to him who loved us, who died for us on that cross, who gave us eternal life, who gives us all things and his protection, guidance, and care. This is going to continue until that day when, by God's grace, we receive everything he has promised. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us turn our hearts together in prayer. Lord God, you have always protected your people as you send them out with your holy word. And yet, as we continue in this season of Lent, you did not stop or prevent the evil actions done to your one and only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as you sent him to suffer, die, and to pay for our sins and the sins of the whole world. Help us to look to your protecting care whenever we feel under pressure or persecution, and know that your promises are always fulfilled and always come true to those who put their trust in you. Help us also to continue to share and spread your word in love and gentleness according to your gracious, compassionate word. We ask this all in our Savior's name. We also pray the prayer he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
turn to hymn 711 for our closing hymn tonight. We'll join together in stanzas 1, 4, and 5. 1, 4, and 5. Welcome to everyone this evening. Glad to have you with us. Okay, have a good week. God bless. Thanks.